Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, mighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has once again blessed us with a noble, auspicious and beautiful day of Jum'ah, the day of Friday. This is the most beautiful day upon which the sun rises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this day fruitful for us, in which we can gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can adopt and implement the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives, and we can gain forgiveness. As it is a Friday morning, in this hour between 9 and 10, this is the Nasiha hour, in which we have various scholars, ulama, from our country and abroad that render us valuable pearls of advice and Nasiha. This week, alhamdulillah, we have a very famous scholar here from Lanesia, Maulana Nazir Jasad. Maulana is the Imam at the Rainbow Masjid. Maulana is also a teacher at the Lanesia Muslim School. We're going to welcome Maulana on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shaymanana, how are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, Allah's karam, alhamdulillah.
Manana, jazakallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your time. Manana will be speaking on the importance of the striving and the sacrificing for Islam. Let us listen very carefully to the advices of Manana.
Jazakumullah khair, Hazrat. It is indeed a great opportunity to have the ability, the opportunity to share a few thoughts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having had to make the change from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwarah, the change for a higher goal, for a higher purpose, and that was to give expression to the beautiful deen. I said to Maulana that the topic that I wish to discuss is strive for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wallazina jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subulana wa inna Allaha lama'al muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very aptly, very beautifully in the Quran Kareem encourages a condition of strive. And the result thereof, the outcome thereof, is لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah Rabbul Izzat upon Himself takes it to guide those that are willing to strive, those that are willing to give the time, the energy, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The demand of jahadu, the demand of strive, is that we understand the reason for strive. The reason for strive is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, treading in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, acting in accordance with divine teachings, and ultimately to find the outcome, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will most certainly, most definitely guide them. In so doing, we can only peep into the lives of the pious. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being in Makkatul Mukarramah, 9 years, against all adversities, challenges, having a higher goal and mission rest on his shoulders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered moving to Ta'if and searching for support, identifying Saqif Banu Sa'idah, the tribe, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to them, speak to them, address them, do a presentation with them, and get them to provide asylum, securities, and support. On arriving in Ta'if, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the tribe and meets with the 3 senior chiefs, presenting the da'wat before them. Amazing. How beautiful. We need to just ponder over the strive aspect in all of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a higher goal and a higher purpose, and that was to pass on the mission that had been shouldered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the responsibility that had been placed on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Allah ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam. Amazing. How beautiful. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the only purpose of his existence in this dunya, in this world, was one and only one, and that is to invite towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not find much support and joy locally in Makkatul Mukarramah with a great amount of resistance from within. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes here to Taif, the capital of Arabia at that time, the largest city of Arabia at that time, where all the structures appeared to be strong, fortified, well established, who would be able to provide the necessary support. On arrival in Taif, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought he would find favor, he addresses the three major chiefs of the tribe. The first response from him, or from the chief, was simply, "Hey Muhammad, you a prophet?" In a condescending, demeaning, disregarding, insulting way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still very hopeful, goes to the second chief and presents the invitation, presents the da'wat, presents the noble message against resistance. He is met with again discord and disregard, where the second chief says to him that, "Oh Muhammad, if you are truly a prophet of Allah, then for me to reject you would mean inviting trouble. And if you are not a prophet of Allah, Muhammad, then I have no reason to talk to you. So I'd rather be safe and distant from you." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still identifying with the mission, still identifying with the purpose. That is the beauty of this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It creates such a resistance for the person that identifies with the goal, that against all odds, he only connects with one, and the being above, Allah Rabbul Izzat, knowing very well that he has no objective, he has no purpose, he has no maqsad. There is no goal but the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the beauty. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the third chief and presents the da'wah to him. And the third chief again rejects, insults, and turns the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala away. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rejected to that extent where he turns around and is forced to leave the city. All hopes shattered in terms of response and hope. Turning away, walking away from Taif, the street urchins are made on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The common children of the street are made unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The public turn again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And throwing stones, placing thorns, placing obstacles, unreservedly opposing the noble task that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to invite them to, they reject the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gradually bleeding. The body is bleeding. The feet are stuck to the shoes. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes cover beneath a tree and turns his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, another marker for the believer. Strive for the pleasure of Allah. Identify with the cause. Realize the purpose and goal. The goal is none other but the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hands. At that time, Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and puts before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a form of solace and comfort. O Muhammad, Allah Rabbul Izzat is well aware of your encounter. It rests upon you to give the instruction. Here are the angels dedicated to the mountains. It is on your instruction that the mountains on either side of Ta'if would close on themselves, bringing everything within to smitherings. O Muhammad, it is upon your instruction. Ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once more gives a message of hope. Believers, friends, sisters, brothers, believers are constantly, always, regularly high-spirited individuals. People with a very high goal and purpose. We will address that aspect shortly of the spirit of a believer. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under such adverse conditions, says, no, these people may have rejected me now, but inshallah their progeny will take the message. And true to the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, true to the supplication and turn of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the kids, the progeny, had later accepted the beautiful message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A believer at no time loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qualities of a believer are so profound, so beautiful. The qualities of a believer have been described or compared to the palm tree. Now that we are at it, I will just go through that very briefly. The palm tree has roots that go straight down into the ground. Unlike other trees that uproot your paving, uproot your boundary wall, do damage to your structural walls, the palm tree, its roots travel straight down into the ground. Likewise, the believer's iman has to be such that it penetrates from the tip of his head right down his feet. Every bloodstream, every breath taken, every vein has to feel the beauty of iman and the sweetness of iman. That is the beauty of a believer. Just like the roots embed and trench the tree firmly into the ground with its roots and its foundation deeply rooted, likewise the iman of a believer is also deep rooted. The place that I am in currently has buildings that are rather high, and talking with the kids this morning, the higher the building, if the building is a 50 story building, or let's say a 50 meter building, one third of the height of that building, that is the depth of its foundation. So if it is a 50-story building, the depth of its foundation has to go straight down into the ground at least 15 to 18 meters. That is one third. That is to be able to give it firm grounding. Likewise, the palm tree is firmly ground. That is why you would find it in subtropical, tropical conditions where there are strong gale winds, and it can withstand all those strong winds because its roots are firmly embedded into the ground. Likewise, the believer's iman has to be so firmly embedded that no matter how strong the winds may be, it would not fall over. The second feature of the palm tree is its broad trunk. The believer is also a broad-chested individual. He can weather all storms, abuse, insult. Why? Because his motive and purpose is not limited and restricted to worldly motives. His motive, his purpose, his goal is for something which is only to be realized after the eyes have closed. Amazing. How beautiful. Because the reality of his mission is fully realized only after closing one's eyes. It is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a strong, well-structured believer. The height of the palm tree, it is physically a tall, towering tree. Although the believer may not grow to that height, but in personality, he ought to be that towering personality that is well above his challenges. Any papers that are flying across, any insults that are being hurled against him, any form of abuse that is leveled against him would all just knock against the bark and brush away. It cannot in any way bring him to the ground. So his personality has to be a towering personality. And the fourth aspect of a believer, or the fourth aspect of the palm tree, is its long branches. The branches being so long signify, indicate the length of the actions of a believer. How beautiful. Amazing. The actions of the believer are far-reaching. The embodiments of iman, the colleagues, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those that had stood by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that had provided all the structural supports to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the mission, they had gone far and wide around the world. And whichever part of the world they had reached, wherever they were able to make an impression, wherever they had literally stayed for a while, they had left indelible marks and impressions that would remain permanently. Up to today, Spain shows out in its aura the beauty of Islam. Mozambique shows traces of Sahaba having come down. Whichever part of the world the Sahaba had gone to, they had left an impression. In today's day and age, our friends that have gone to Chile, Argentina, Venezuela, South America, how beautiful. How beautiful and heart-rending to hear of the effect and results that they're achieving. Because they are iman-driven, the purpose is none other than the pleasure of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and the outcome would be proportionate. All the servant has to do is understand his goal and his purpose. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, his beloved father, in the very early Islam, they had embraced Islam at the hand of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the father would be mercilessly tortured, made to lie in the burning sands, the Arabian sands, in the scorching heat, and he would be tortured. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk past him and pass a soft, gentle, consoling comment: there is a Jannah waiting for you. Have patience. Have patience, there is a Jannah waiting for you. How beautiful. The Sahaba had realized the beauty of the Iman. They had realized, they had appreciated the sweetness of the Iman. And the Iman had given them a consolation that none could explain, that they could live against what we would call the grain of society, the demands and needs of society. At the time of Bilal radiallahu an, at that time it was multiple gods worshipping a god for the rain, a god for sunshine, a god for the moon, a god for different aspects. 365 different gods, all fulfilling a different purpose. At that time when Bilal was being struck and tortured, why did he say, Ahad, the one Allah, Ahad, the one Allah? Simply because I reject and I refute all other deities that you subscribe and claim to believe. I reject all of that. My beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission is one Allah, and that is what I subscribe to. I will never succumb to multiple gods. Strive, understanding the purpose for the strife, and giving up all the conveniences for that strife. How beautiful, how amazing. The mother of Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu an, Sumayya radiallahu anha, it is so painful talking about the kind of torture that she was subjected to at the hands of the disbelievers. She was murdered in that manner. And Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu an has the honor when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Medina Munawwara, that he builds a resting place for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has the honor to do the bricklaying of the first masjid in Medina Munawwara, the Masjid Quba. He is in the battlefield at the age of 94 when he is struck and he is on his deathbed. And at that time he requests for water. The Sahaba bring for him water to drink. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum bring milk for Ammar bin Yasir to drink. He says, my beloved said to me that my last sip of this world, my last drink of this world will be milk. Jazakallahu khair. He takes a sip of the milk, breathes his last, and departs from this temporary sojourn. Strive against all odds, for the meeting ultimately is a grand meeting with Allah Rabbul Izzat. It is a meeting that is cherished, that is valued, which is strived for. How beautiful. Harisa radiallahu anhu, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, displays phenomenal love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion expresses a thought to his beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. Fatima, you live too far away from me. I want you to live close enough to me. I want you to come and live at a place where you are easily accessible for me. I want you to be in and out of my home. I want you to live close to me. I want you nearby. And Fatima radiallahu anha says, Ya Rasulullah, there isn't any place, there isn't a home close enough to yours. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, speak to Harisa, he's got a few homes. Perhaps he would make one home available for you. And Fatima radiallahu anha shows reluctance. She says that I have already taken a favor from Harisa radiallahu an, and I'm reluctant to ask him again. It wouldn't be appropriate for me to ask him for a favor, having taken one favor from him already. And they leave the discussion resting. They don't take the discussion further, and it is left right there. Soon thereafter, Harisa radiallahu an gets wind of this discussion and this feeling expressed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His yearning was to have his beloved daughter by his side, and he gives Harisa radiallahu an hears about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wish. Harisa radiallahu an comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what I've heard. Please, Ya Rasulullah, choose the dwelling, choose the house that you like, that is closest to you from amongst my homes that I have. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Harisa, I cannot do that. You give to me the house that you find suitable for me. Whichever one you feel you can part with, you can give to me, I'd appreciate it, because then I can have my daughter close to me. At that time, Harisa radiallahu anhu says something which is so striking, which is so striking. It has this tremendous bolt of life infused in any person that hears the statement uttered by Harisa radiallahu anhu. He says, Ya Rasulullah, the home that you choose for your needs and your purposes becomes of greater value to me than what you leave for me. Amazing. What you leave for me becomes of secondary nature. What you choose for yourself, I cherished and I value tremendously, because it has won your favor, Ya Rasulullah. What sort of love is that? What sort of dedication is that? What sort of impression was that? What sort of impact was that? That was striking impact. That was striking love. That was unreserved dedication to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unconditional love. How beautiful. When Ja'far radiallahu anhu is summoned into the court of Najashi, what does Najashi ask him? I've been told all these things about yous that have migrated to my land in Africa. Come on, tell me, what is this thing about your religion and about your prophet? Explain to me further. Tell me, what exactly is it? And Ja'far radiallahu anhu goes on to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man which was big, with big shoulders, broad understanding, broad-minded, like we would like to call it, says that is exactly the description given in the divine scriptures of the coming of the final prophet. When the message is divine, when the message is passed on in accordance with divine rules, when the message is coupled with strife, sacrifice, qurbani, then it is departing from a heart. It cannot find a target other than another heart. Amazing. Sacrifice nurtures the chords in the heart, and it allows for tremendous impact, even if it is a stuttering tongue which is uttering the words, but because it is emanating from the depths, from the crevices, deep down in the heart, it will most definitely find another heart to lodge itself into. But the moment it becomes lip service, it only reaches one's ears. May Allah Rabbul Izzat give us the understanding. May Allah Rabbul Izzat give us the realization. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand in the thick of the night crying for the ummah. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ Ya Allah, if you punish them, they are your servants. You are fully entitled to. Ya Allah, if you wish to punish them, if you punish them, they are your servants. You are fully entitled to. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ And if you forgive them, Ya Allah, if you pardon them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ With that one ayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keeping us before his eyes, keeping our well-being before his eyes, pleads before Allah Rabbul Izzat, cries before Allah Rabbul Izzat, dedicated the entire night before Allah Rabbul Izzat, for our salvation. All that we are required to do, all that we are needed to do, is simply say, Ya Allah, we will be obedient adherents. We will be obedient servants. We will fully subscribe to your demands. We will fully accept the demands and the orders of this beautiful deen that has been passed down upon us. Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu, on one occasion, is being brought into the haram by Wahab bin Munabbah radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Abbas, having been of age, having lost his eyesight, according to some reports, he had lost his eyesight due to excessive tearing, excessive crying. Crying in front of Allah Rabbul Izzat, not crying because the business was not performing or because some property had been lost or for any worldly motive, crying in front of Allah Rabbul Izzat. At that time, Wahab bin Munabbah marches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at least marches Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu an into the haram. And in one corner they hear a noise. There are some people that are squealing, that are quarreling, that are making a noise, that are having a go at each other. Abdullah bin Abbas requests to be taken to him, to that crowd of people. And then Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu addresses them. Do you know, people, what Allah Rabbul Izzat loves the most? Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says regarding what Allah loves the most? And in astonishment and surprise, they say, yes, please do go ahead and advise us, explain to us what is it that Allah loves the most. The response is simple. Notwithstanding having the ability to articulate and be eloquent, able to communicate and speak, the person remains quiet with the fear of uttering the wrong word and keeps busy in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Ali radiallahu anhu says that I regretted more the words that I had spoken than the moments that I was silent. Selective speaking, selective management of time, selective consuming of edibles. Those are the three essentials. Speak and speak only what is wise and what is of importance. Sleep only as and when and how it is necessary. Consume, eat only that which is going to benefit. And that requires a certain level of strive, discipline and sacrifice. On this Mubarak day of Jum'ah, these were the few thoughts that had come to mind, and we thought perhaps this may be a few thoughts that may inshallah benefit the speaker mostly and those listening with the intent and heart to be able to adopt. I will close by relating, according to Ubay bin Ka'b, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they knew what virtue there is in them, that is the congregational prayers, they would come, even if they had to crawl. And the virtue of the first row is like that of the row of the angels. If you knew its virtue, you would compete for it. Man's prayer with another man is greater in reward than his prayer alone. And a man's prayer with two other men is greater in reward than his prayer with one other man. The more people there are, the more beloved that is to Allah, the mighty and sublime. On this Mubarak day of Jum'ah, let us make it a point of proceeding early to the Jum'ah Salah for the men, join the congregation, do what is necessary in preparation for the Jum'ah, and appreciate this Mubarak moment, because there are times on this Mubarak day when du'as, supplications are readily accepted. Mindfully let us spend this day. This could be the moment for the acceptance of du'a. That could be the moment of acceptance of du'a. So after every salah, raise the hands, make du'a, Ya Allah, keep me in good stead. Let me appreciate and feel the sweetness of Iman. Accept me for the beautiful deen. Let us spend the rest of today between the khutbahs, after the namaz, after reading our sunnahs before the khutbah, likewise after reading our sunnahs after the namaz, at the end of the day before the Maghrib Salah, dedicating 15-20 minutes to dua, after the Asr Salah. There are so many golden moments in this day that remain. May Allah Rabbul Izzat accept the few thoughts that I have expressed. It is only through the grace, through the mercy, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us the opportunity to share these few thoughts. But at the same time, Allah Rabbul Izzat make it a means of acceptance in His divine court. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.
Jazakallah Malana, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of practicing on what Malana has said.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan.
Jazakumullah. With that we terminate this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.